even when an animal is not being brought in the temple, but is being eaten in a non-cultic setting, even so, the temple and its offerings must be remembered, and therefore, the fat itself must remain unconsumed. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 136, The Offerings and the Meaning of Life. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is one of the more amusing comments in the history of Jewish medieval debate. The topic is Jewish dietary laws, specifically kashrut. And Don Isaac Abravanel was commenting on the prominent approach among other earlier sages of the period that sought to explain kashrut laws as being grounded, ultimately, in health-related matters. Thus, Maimonides, in his Guide for the Perplexed, writes, "I say, then, that to eat any of the various kinds of food that the law has forbidden us is blameworthy." A similar approach is taken by Nachmanides and Sefer HaChinuch, the medieval, anonymously authored work that describes the commandments, writes similarly that, quote, "It was therefore the great kindness of God toward us, his people whom he chose, to remove us from every food that is injurious to the body." And he added, "This is the rule to which I hold, according to the plain meaning, in every ban imposed on food, as we stated above." End quote. To this, Abravanel responds with what I believe to be a devastating critique. If kashrut is ultimately about health, then why do Gentiles seem healthier than Jews in many situations? He writes, "Many have already thought that the prohibition placed by the Torah on forbidden foods is because of the health of the body and its healing, that the wrong foods lead to the development of hurtful fluids, and this is the opinion of Nachmanides." End quote. But then Abravanel adds that he sees many that eat forbidden food among the non-Jewish populace and, quote, "are all living today in a state of strength, and there is not a tired or weak man among them." End quote. Kashrut, in other words, is not about health. This, of course, is the view that I adopt in my own article on the subject, Locusts, Giraffes, and the Meaning of Kashrut. Our subject, however, is not locusts nor giraffes, but another law related to the Jewish diet. And that is the biblical ban on chalev, forbidden fat. Certain forms of fat within certain kosher animals are biblically forbidden. And the aforementioned anonymously authored Sefer HaChinuch understands this ban to be linked to health as well. Or as he puts it, "V'yadua hadavar mufursam bein b'nei adam ki lefia ma'achalim yitpael haguf bivriyut ovacholi." It is known and famous among human beings that, based on food, the body will respond with health or sickness. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, as Sefer HaChinuch himself notes, the laws of forbidden fat only apply to specific kosher creatures: the cow and the ox, the sheep and the goat. Fat from, say, a deer is permitted. Moreover, it is only specific fats from the aforementioned kosher creatures that are themselves forbidden. All this is difficult to explain if Leviticus is giving us a series of rules relating to health. Rather, what appears to be the case here is that these specific fats are by and large designated as offerings. They are, in their own way, the embodiment of the life of the animal itself, and therefore, like the blood of an animal, offered upon the altar. To put it slightly differently, one must remember the offerings of the temple even when one is eating an animal that is not an offering. Thus the Torah tells us, even when an animal is not being brought in the temple, but is being eaten in a non-cultic setting, even so, the temple and its offerings must be remembered, and therefore, the fat itself must remain unconsumed. This would explain why it is only cows and oxen, lambs, sheep, goats, whose fat, or at least portions of it, are forbidden, for it is only these animals that are potential offerings in the temple. The thesis, then, of this episode is that the chalev, the fat, is forbidden because were this animal an offering, it would be the fat that would be given to God. And in forbidding this fat, even when the animal is not an offering, we are reminding the Jew engaged in eating that the most ideal way in which to have eaten this animal is in the temple in the presence of God. In so doing, the Jew is called to remember the offerings and their meaning, even when he or she is not in Jerusalem, or even when he or she lives in an age where the temple does not stand. It was Michael Wishegrad who wrote that the purpose of an offering is to allow us to see in the death of an animal a reminder that we live by God's grace. Or as Wishegrad put it, sacrificial Judaism brings the truth of human existence into the temple. It does not leave it outside its portals. This is why only the fat of animals utilized as a korban have their fat forbidden. For every one of these animals eaten provides an opportunity for the Jew to remember the temple. Thus, this mitzvah is not about physical, but rather spiritual health and endurance. It is a mitzvah which has ensured that the altar of Jerusalem, destroyed by Rome long ago, continues to endure in the Jewish mind and heart. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.